And we're going to see what the Holy Ghost has to say. Because it's always, if you're going to minister, you better minister by the Holy Ghost. Amen? For he is the only one that knows what the Father is saying. And we want to say what he is saying. Amen? So, Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we are so grateful and thankful to you. And we're so excited what you're doing here in Fort Worth, Texas. We thank you, Father, that your spirit is moving among this city, even if the city's not totally aware of it. We know that you are moving in this city and that this city is being taken for the glory of God. And, Father, that they haven't, this church hadn't seen anything yet compared to what it will see in the days ahead. For, Father, we know you have great things in store for this church. And, Father, as they have hungered and thirsted after you and gone for you, Father, we know, God, that their best is yet to come and that the goodness of God is being poured out on Calvary Cathedral, that the goodness of God will manifest, oh, through the people of God from this house. And, Father, we thank you that this city will be taken for the glory of God. And thank you for the man and the woman of God that has stood in the gap all these years and stood in faith and believed God for the impossible and believed God when things looked impossible, but they stood and you were faithful, God. And Father, I thank you that your hand is upon this church and upon our pastors, and we speak the blessing of the Lord upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So did you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2? I know this church knows this scripture quite well, but we're going to look at it again. I'm going to talk about prayer tonight. This is one of the most powerful prayer meetings I think there's ever been. And Acts 2, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Oh, I believe that day is coming again, where we're going to be in one accord, in one place, and the Holy Ghost is going to be poured out. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." That's a key phrase right there. As the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, we know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost has been poured out upon Calvary Cathedral. We know that the Spirit of God is there and he's giving us utterance for this hour to take a city, to make a difference. I'm going to take that over Columbia too while I'm here. And it says, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." You know, and I look at that and I think, what a powerful prayer meeting that they had. You know, sometimes we just read through this and we look at it, but there was a prayer meeting that was going on. When the Holy Ghost fell, 120 people simultaneously began to pray in the Spirit, some language that they had never prayed before. Now, we do not know how long they stayed there, do we? We just know at 9 o'clock in the morning, the city became aware of something, because something had happened. Something had moved. Something had changed in the hearts of 120 people. And they, you know, when the Holy Ghost came and he sat upon them and they began to utter languages that they had never heard, they began that prayer meeting, and out of their mouths they began to speak unspeakable things. They began to pray. And as they prayed in that prayer meeting, that city was being transformed. That city did not know that it was being changed by 120 people sitting in the upper room praying in the Holy Ghost. They had no idea what was taking place, but a city was about to be shaken because people came together and they prayed. People came together and they sought God. People came together and they went after God, and they yielded themselves to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost began to move among them. The the Holy Ghost began and people began to look at each other and they said, I see fire on you. I see fire on you. And it was uncontainable. It couldn't be quenched because something was going on, because God was about to go in and he was about to change a city. Woo, what a prayer meeting that was. That changed the way everybody prayed from that day forth, where people are concerned. And see, here they are. They go out there, and it says in verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? So here, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto him, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. So here Peter is standing up with the 11 disciples, coming out of a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. I mean, they could have been in there 2 hours, 3 hours. We don't know how long they were in there, but they were in a place that they had built themselves up in the Holy Ghost. They had gotten themselves in a place that Peter and the 11 disciples stood there. And as they were standing there, Peter was bold and he spoke the word of God and he told them what was going on. And there came a great revival. 3,000 souls were won. Here were 11. But where were the 109? There was 120. You know where the others were? They were out in the city. They were out there among the people, and the people were saying, they're saying the wonderful works of God. They didn't know what they were saying. They were speaking in other tongues. They were speaking in another language, and they were going out among the people. Why? Because the city was being shaken, and nobody cared if they were speaking in tongues. They were just speaking the wonderful works of God to shake a city, to make a difference in a city, so that the city would be shaken for the glory of God, so souls would come in. What an awesome prayer meeting. Prayer changes things. Things cannot stay the same when we loose that tongue, when we allow the glory of God, the Holy Ghost, to give us utterance. That utterance comes out from in us, and as it goes in the atmosphere, and it changes things. Amen. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Glory to God. Woo! God is calling us to make a difference in prayer. Glory to God. Now you think about this. You think about them. Each person, each 120 persons got a different flame. Each of them had individual flames. Each of them were full of the Holy Ghost, and they got that flame of fire. And with each one of those flames came a different anointing, came a different grace. It came on them that different ones spoke in different languages till where it affected that whole city. You know, sometimes you think, are you important? Well, if you can go sure ba ba day, go so ba 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 day. You can speak in that heavenly language. You can speak the mysteries of God. You can speak forth those unknown things that you don't know what you're talking about. But obviously, it affected that city. Obviously, it made a difference. And people heard the wonderful works of God. They heard people, ordinary, everyday people, out there in the middle of the city till they gathered around and they came together and they wanted to hear what Peter had to say. What a prayer meeting. Well, I think we need a few more of those prayer meetings. Sometimes we think the Holy Ghost comes on us to touch us and change us, which it does. But it's about time. The Holy Ghost doesn't just come and bless us, but comes to that place that it changes a city. There's a call of God upon this church for a city. There's a call of God upon Columbia, Missouri for the city. We have the same call that our pastor has, and it's to take a city. We're not there to be an ordinary church. We're not there, you know, to do what everybody else does. We're there to make a difference, and you're here to make a difference. And God's given you the equipment. He's given you the anointing. He's given you the Holy Ghost to loose the chains and the bonds. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. It's demonstrated in the book of Acts. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to loose people and let them go free. Now let's go to Acts 12. Let's see how this functions. I love the Holy Ghost. I love the Holy Ghost. I love the move of God. I love when God comes in and He invades people's lives and He changes people's lives and they can't be the same. They are different because they've had an encounter with the Holy Ghost and it changes their lives. Amen? And that's what we're looking for, life-changing things. And you are anointed. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you're anointed. And your tongue was designed for you. Your flame was designed for you. And that flame that is on the inside of you wants to come out. And an expression is going to be, that's the expression. That's the words of the Spirit of God. And when those words come out of you, you may not understand them, but they go out there into the atmosphere and they begin to clear a pathway. They begin to make a way. And as they make a way in that pathway, as you're praying, you don't know what souls you may touch. You may not know what is going on, but I'm telling you, it's causing a city to shake. It's causing something to happen because you release the voice of the Holy Ghost. Did we not read there in Acts 2 where it said the utterance was the utterance of the Holy Ghost? Was it not the utterance of the Holy? It's not you. It's the Holy Ghost within you being released. Don't you think He knows what the city needs? Don't you think He knows what's in the atmosphere that needs to be cleared out? Don't you think He knows that you've got the power and the authority? That's what He gave you to go in there and move the resistance, change the resistance, do something. Sometime when you think you're not doing anything, I'm telling you, the devil hates for you to get up. And I know He hates for me to get up because the first thing in the morning, I'm sure, and I don't do it just for 5 minutes. I spend time seeking the face of God and praying in the Holy Ghost. I do it at least an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours a day. And on the day I'm going to preach, it's at least 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours. Why? Because I know that there's an utterance in my voice that the devil doesn't like to hear. But I don't really care what he likes. I've learned he doesn't make any sense. Amen? And so sometimes I don't know what I'm praying. But I know my voice, my flame is going out there. Is your flame going out there? Are you sending those words out there? In order for this hour, it is so crucial. It is so crucial for us to pray and seek the face of God and allow that Holy Ghost voice to come out of us. We're doing too many other things besides praying and seeking God. We're doing other things besides. We got a city to take. We got a difference to make. And yes, I am so excited what you're doing and the 69,000 souls that are coming in. But that's not enough. How big is the Metroplex? How many millions of people live here? We got to make a difference. In the first place, God gave us demonstration when He came with fire. It was a demonstration of how to live and not wait till Rodney comes. And we go with Acts. But He gave it to us to demonstrate. We got the power. We've got the authority. Woo, we got the grace. So in Acts 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing. Prayer was made without ceasing. The Amplified Bible says, so Peter was kept in prison, but fervent prayer for him was persistently made. Those are key words. Red hot prayer. Persistently. That means they stayed in there. They didn't quit after 15 minutes. They didn't quit after 30 minutes. Somebody was in prison. Somebody, a leader was in prison. A leader to the city was in prison. It wasn't just anybody. It was a leader. And James was a leader. And he died. And Peter was on his way to death. And the church got a revelation. I said the church got a revelation. It was time to pray. It was time earlier to pray. But they got the, thank God they got the revelation. Here's a leader locked up in prison. And the church came together. And the church started praying. And what did they pray? These were spirit-filled people praying in the Holy Ghost. And they weren't just praying ordinary prayers. They were in that place that they were praying in the Spirit. And they wanted something to happen. They wanted something to take place. So they stayed in that place of fervent, persistent prayer. Would we do that? We'd all like to be spiritual and say, of course, Pastor called a 24-hour prayer. We'd be there. Right? I will not ask for a raise of hands. But these people were praying. And they were seeking God. To the anointings that each of that, whoever was in that church praying, they what they brought together were different anointings. They needed the anointing to loose a man out of prison. They needed an anointing to bring forth an angel. There are different people in this room that have different graces and different anointings. And you may not have tapped into it yet. But we must learn to tap into that place in the Holy Ghost and move with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In the early days of learning to pray, I just want to tell you all, I thank God again. You've heard me say this all week, but I thank God again for Joy Nichols. She taught me to pray. We went to the prayer tower before it was the prayer tower. And we prayed 2 to 3 hours on Wednesday and 2 to 3 hours on Thursday. And I'm telling you, that woman meant business. She didn't take any no. She stood in the place. We stood in the place and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed in that place until we knew we had answers. That's what this church is doing right here. This one right here in the book that we're reading. They stayed in the place until they had answers. They stayed in that place until the leader of that church was set free. Amen? So they brought their different anointings together. When we come together in prayer, we're going to bring our anointings together to do business for the kingdom of God. Amen? And our church, that, and I know this is a church, a praying church, but we got to up it. You hear that, Columbia, Missouri? Got to up it. It's easier to say on internet. Hallelujah. The atmosphere needs to hear our voice. It needs to hear what we are saying. It needs to hear from the Holy Ghost. It needs to hear from the head of the church who gives it to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost brings it forth out of our mouth. This atmosphere needs to hear the voice of God. And it's going to come through our voice, and it's going to be powerful and strong when we get together in unity and we pray in the Holy Ghost. And we release that power. And so, in verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. I love that. How come Peter was sleeping? Because folks were praying. And somebody in that room had an anointing to pray peace on Peter. Just peace. We don't know. We weren't in there. But you can tell that those people got together and they knew how to pray. They knew how to touch heaven. They knew how to move heaven down here on earth to where an angel came forth into the prison and Peter wasn't even aware of it. He was just in that grace. He was in that peace because there were anointings that were being prayed from the church. Glory to God. And so in verse 7, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on the sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Why? Because there was a church that was praying. A church that kept him to where he didn't even know what was going on. Because that church upheld him in prayer, which kept him in a place in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of grace was on that place, and it came in and it covered him up, and it kept him and it protected him, and it caused the angel of God to move, and it caused that the chains just to fall off. And then it says that Peter went out, Peter walked out, and it says that the gate opened. It didn't say the angel opened up the gate. It said the gate opened. Somebody was praying for the gate to open. Somebody in that prayer meeting prayed for the chains to fall off. Somebody in the prayer meeting prayed for the angel. Somebody in the prayer meeting were praying for these things, and things happened because somebody had a voice in the Spirit connected and caused things to happen. Amen? That's the power that you and I live in. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And the devil wants us to think that praying in the Spirit is not important. I'm telling you, sometimes you can call a prayer meeting. As a pastor, I know there's times we call prayer meetings. We can call and come and say, come have fried chicken. And everybody will come out for fried chicken. Glory to God. Fried chicken. It's really healthy for you. And they'll come out to eat unhealthy food. But when you say prayer, they act like the devil. No, yeah, I love my church. Hallelujah. When we are praying, when we come together and we pray, our weapons are being released. You got to understand how powerful you are. You know, I believe me, I didn't plan on this, and I certainly don't know. I've never been in the military, so if I don't name the military things right, just give me grace, okay? So I don't know what the biggest weapons are, and, you know, I don't, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to make them up. Y'all let me make them up, okay? And pretend like I'm saying them right, okay? Just give me grace. Smile at me if I miss it, okay? Okay, so we come together in this prayer meeting, and the weapons of the Holy Ghost are on the inside of us. And some of us come with an atom bomb. That's pretty big, isn't it? That's what we, you know, some people carry that kind of anointing, that kind of grace, that power that can just go in there and just whop, knock it dead. You know, gets in there. And then there are other weapons. They're not, you know, there's Scud missiles out there. No, those are the ones that do the other thing. Y'all give me grace, right? Okay, let's just say Scud missiles. I've heard that on the news, Scud missiles. Okay, so those Scud missiles, when you come out, here comes out of you a Scud missile going out of you, but nothing can stop it. The devil can't stop it. Nothing can stop it. You loosed your faith to go in there, a direct hit. And we carry that. We carry that grace. We carry that anointing. All of us carry different ones. Give me another military one. What was it? A bazooka. Okay. We got a bazooka. Dan's demonstrating what a bazooka is. We got the bazooka. And it goes boom. And it leaves. And it goes to its target. And it takes it out. Why? Because somebody has come together to seek God and release the weapon that God has put on the inside of them. I mean, you go back and you look at Acts 2, and those were weapons coming out of those people that were going out there, going in there and causing salvation to come, causing deliverance to come, calling healings to break through. Everybody has a different weapon. But when we come together, we are like an atom bomb, and we can drop that bomb on this city, and it will destroy the works of the devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I just want to stir you up tonight. I want to stir you to that place that you get up in the morning and you go to bed at night and you're praying in the spirit. And when our pastor calls for a prayer meeting, we go, glory to God. I'm taking my weapon to church. Glory to God. Just tell me where to fire it, pastor. Tell me where it needs to go. Tell us where we need to aim it. Tell us where we need to shoot it. We're going to let it go. Glory to God. Woo! Don't you love it? I mean, that makes prayer exciting. I love when we get together as a church and we pray. And you know, we get different ones up there. We pray every Saturday night. We come together as a church and we pray. And we just let our weapons go. And they're just amazing where they go. And it's amazing what's changing. Because we got the power to change our city. We are not insufficient. We are full of power and full of authority. And the devil has blinded the church to Acts 2 to be just sometimes just a service where we hope we get a little bit. And to where it is an effective tool or effective weapon for the glory of God. They knew something about that. Hallelujah. You know, in this hour, with the assignment that's on this house, and I know with the assignment that's on our house, we must pray for our pastors. And we must pray for the leadership of the church. We must, as a people, get into that place. For God has called, He's called these pastors here to this city to take a city. And we must lift up their hands and stand in the gap for them so that they hear from God, because what they carry on the inside of them is the city. They carry the vision. And you as a congregation, the vision for you is inside of Him. And as it's inside of Him, when you connect in the Spirit to Him, when you make that connection to Him, it's going to bring to pass what is needed in your life. But we must pray for the man of God and the woman of God. Now, I want us to go back now, and I want us to look at two different things here in the Old Covenant. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. You are so good. Numbers chapter 20. I'm just a little fired tonight. Hallelujah. I want you. We're going to look at two different people here. It says in, where did I tell y'all to go? I didn't? 20. I told you 20. Thank you, Charlie and Lori. Verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before the eyes, their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, you rebels. There have been times. Many pastors have wanted to call that to their congregations, I'm sure. Not this congregation. Y'all are on fire for God. Not our congregation. But there have probably been opportunities. Anyway, hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch your water out of the rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with the rod. He smote the rock twice. What was he told to do? Speak to the rock. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is a really tough situation. Moses had spent all these years, he had a vision to go in and to take the land. His vision for all these, some say it's about 38 years, he had a vision to go into the promised land, to fulfill the will of God. And what happened? It says, chapter 27, verse 12, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into the mount, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation. Ooh. In the strife. What happened? He had walked all those years. He'd been up to the mountain. He had sought God. He had face-to-face encounters with God. He talked with God. He walked with God. But the pressure of the ministry. But the pressure of the ministry overtook him. Because the congregation was murmuring and complaining instead of praying. Instead of going after God. Too many men and women of God are out of ministries today because of murmuring and complaining, because they're not seeking the face, the congregation is not seeking the face of God. It wasn't Moses' heart. He just got tired and weary. The pressures of ministry came on him. Those pressures caused him not to inherit his land. God promised him he would go in. God said, Moses, I want you to take. It was the will of God for Moses to take him in. That was the will of God. It was the plan of God. But under pressure, he folded. It was like one more thing. Sometimes the pressures get on. And churches close at an amazing rate. Way too many ministers go down because of the pressure of the ministry, because the congregation is not praying. We must pray in this hour. We must pray. And so we all know that Joshua came in. God anointed Joshua to come in And why did Joshua make it? Why was Joshua able to go in? Well, we're going to look at a couple of things. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 16. And here Joshua is, you know, God has given him some instructions on what to do, and now he's talking to the people. And he tells the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half the tribe of Manasseh that, you know, their wives and their children can stay back, but the men have to go to war. And so he's talking to the people. In verse 16, and says, "And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do." Would that not be the most awesome thing to hear? I'm just telling you. As a pastor, to hear all that thou tellest us to do, we will do, that makes sweet music in the ears of a pastor. "And wheresoever thou sendest us, we will go." Wow. You're talking, I don't know, let's just say there's 1 million people going in. And you're talking, people are standing there saying, "And whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do. And wherever you tell us to go, we're going to go." I believe that day is coming to the church. I believe people are going to have a revelation of what pastors really are about, and the call of God on their life, and how connected, when they connect to the vision of the house, what it's going to do for them. Verse 17, "According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment," this is pretty strong, "and will not hearken," these are what the people are saying to Joshua, "whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto the words and all that thou commandeth him, he shall be put to death." That's a good way to get rid of rebellion. That came to the church, what would we do? And they said to Joshua, "This is your job. Only be strong and of good courage. Look, we're going to go where you tell us to go. We're going to do what you tell us to do. If anybody rebels, they're dead. You, Joshua, your job is to lead us and to be strong and to be of good courage and not back down and not give up and not quit. You lead us. We are going." Amen. Now, listen, there's a reward to that. Now, we're going to go on over, and we're going to go to the end of Joshua. And when I find it, I'll tell you where you're going. Joshua 23. Now, here they are. They have gone in. They told Joshua that whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do. Wherever you send us, we are going. We are with you. You be strong. You lead us. You guide us. You direct us. Now, this is the end of the book of Joshua. And let's see what happened to a people that were in one accord, to a people that prayed, to a people that were in unity, to that 1 million people that went into that land. It says, Joshua 23, verse 14, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your ways, in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed." Oh my gosh, what happened when a church was unified in one accord, prayed and sought the Lord and obeyed their commander, obeyed the pastor, stood in that place. Not one thing failed that God said. They operated in the blessing of the Lord to a degree that no other nation has ever operated in. There was not poverty among one of them. That was the true. I mean, there's another description. I think it's in Ezekiel. I didn't pull that out tonight. But it's in there, and it told all the good things that the people inherited. All the promises, all the things that Moses had said for 40 years. All the things. All the promises. You're going into a good land, a land of milk and honey. You're going in to have houses that you didn't have to build. You're going to have a transfer of wealth. All the things that your pastor has been telling you. All the words of God that he's been saying in this hour. The blessing of the Lord in the fullness, not just a little bit. Not just a little bit. Every person got their inheritance. Why? Because they were in one accord. And sure enough, when Achan rebelled, they buried the dude. And you know what? There wasn't rebellion again all the days of Joshua. They were in that place that every person walked in the blessing. That is the place that God wants the church to go, is in the fullness of the blessing. You know, one thing that amazed me, you know, you hear today, it's the Joshua generation. You know, it's all about the Joshua generation, and let's just get rid of the older generation. And I thought, Joshua generation? Pastor, you're not even old enough to be the Joshua generation. You've got a couple of years on you, or another year on you. I mean, come on. Joshua was 80 years old. You want the Joshua generation? Glory to God. That's our pastor. That's the Joshua generation. You know, what did that Joshua generation do? What did it do? It took the young people, led the young people. We're talking about youth revivals. Glory to God. We're talking about children being used, but they will be led by the man of God. They will be led. They won't be out doing their own thing. They will be in unity and one accord because the vision is in the man of God. The vision was in Moses. Moses couldn't go in, so it went into Joshua, and Joshua had vision. Joshua had to put everyone. He heard from God. He had to put them in their place. They had their land, and in that land was the blessing. Nothing lacked because those young people didn't come up and say, Joshua, I know how to do this. They stood with them and said, you can do this. You be strong and you be of good courage. That's what he said. That's what they said. 110 years old. Well, people wouldn't think that's a young generation, but he did everything, everything, and the people obtained every promise. That's amazing. That's the vision that God has for every born-again believer to attach themselves to the house of God, where God has called them all over the world. And then there are assignments on the church, and David King brought that out on Sunday night. The assignments, and this assignment on this church is for the city. But it's going to take us in that place of praying. You know, God has spoken, and I've read it through several prophets, and I've spoken it myself, that this is the time. That this is the time that signs and wonders and miracles that have never been done on this earth before are going to be done. That's what God said. He said that before they went into that land, after they came out of Egypt, after the signs, after the wonders that God did. And then he said, I'm going to do marvels that have never been done before. And I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, and he's saying that again in this hour, that he is going to do marvels that have never been done before. He's going to do things that have never been seen on this earth before. He's going to move among his people, but he's looking for a people that will stand in the gap, make up the hedge, believe in their leadership, pray for their leadership, stand in that place and not back off, and open their mouths. Let those weapons of warfare come out of your mouth, to the where they penetrate the atmosphere, and the atmosphere can't stand it anymore. The devil can't stay in the territory anymore. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord is working in the fullness. That brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is stirring his people up to pray like never before. And so many times I hear excuses. We don't have time to pray. We have time to watch television. We have time for football. Oh, I just stepped on myself. Oh, that was a hard one. I have to talk to the Lord about that. Hallelujah. You know, we have time for what we want to have time for. You know, sometimes when I get up in the morning, I don't get up in the morning and think, oh boy, I can pray. Sometimes I get up in the morning and think, I just got things to do and I want to get it done. But the Lord has called me to prayer. And I kind of blame Joy Nichols on that. Teaching me to pray, teaching me how to touch heaven. You know, and I know this, again, I know y'all pray. But you know what? It's going to take more. It's going to take more. These people that followed Joshua made a decision. They made a decision. We want what God has said. And we're not going to be denied at any cost. And Manasseh and the Reubenites and the Gideonites, they left their families. The husbands did. And they went to war. And how many of you think, oh good, we get to leave our families, was exciting to them? It cost them something. But they did it to make sure everybody got their inheritance. And God wants everybody to get their inheritance. He doesn't want anybody left out. He doesn't want us in that place that there is lack in our lives. And the one way we're going to have that is through the unity. The oneness where we let those weapons out of our mouth and we pray. And we're unashamed of praying. And believe that on the inside of us, we have the, what was that, Dan? The bazooka? The bazooka on the inside. I'll take a bazooka. I'll take whatever weapon he's given me. But I want my mouth to flow. And I want whatever words needs to come out to destroy the works of the devil. Somebody's got to get tired of living the way we're living without the victory that we need to have. And I'm going to tell you, there are pastors God's given assignments to, and he's called people to them, you know, and you cannot disattach yourself from that assignment. When it's put in there and he's assigned you, that's where the blessing is. You know, and there it doesn't make one church better than the other. But it means, where has God called you? That's the difference. People leave churches all the time. But you know what amazes me? People leave churches. I wonder, let me see if I can find that scripture real quick. There's something I want to read. I don't remember where it was. Lord, where was it? It's in the Bible somewhere. I know it's in here. I don't know if I wrote it down or not. It talked about the pastors. People can change churches. This is the gist of it. People can change churches, because I want to do something. People can change churches all the time. They'll leave, they'll come, they'll go. But just like this man of God, I love that sign up there. 50 years in Fort Worth, Texas, with the same vision. And he doesn't get moved by how many people come and go. That he stands in that place and he believes God. He stands in that place and she stands by his side and they believe God that they're going to take this city. That's the vision in his heart, and he hadn't let go of it. No matter who comes and who goes, he still stands. One of these days, people are going to get a revelation. I believe this. I just believe it. That they're going to get a revelation when they're hooked up to the man of God, they better stay hooked up. Whether they like it or not, no matter what, he's not perfect. There's not one of us that are. You know, what did Pastor say many times? You know, if you're looking for the perfect church, you're the one that just run it when you came in. That's your words, not mine. Might as well blame him, right? Hallelujah. But it's truth. Yes. It's the truth. And when you realize that, he is not going to be perfect, and he's not going to do the things the way you think they need to be done. But that's okay. You know? Just do what God. Just get in line with the vision. And you will flourish. God told us that. And you know, something else the Lord said Sunday morning. I shared this Monday night, but before Pastor called me up to say something, the Holy Ghost said to me, I'm going to give you utterance. And he had never said that to me before. Now, I have prophesied many times over a lot of you in this room. But that morning, I knew it was something different. And I'm thinking in my head as I'm speaking, and I'm listening to what I'm saying. And God said, I'm not through with you. That's what God said. You all heard it. You heard God say that. He said, I'm not through with you. We need to pray for this man and this woman of God like never before. Because God said, I am not through with you. I want you on earth. I don't want you in heaven. Amen. That's what God said Sunday morning. We need to be saying what God said. Joshua made it till 110. He made it until everything was fulfilled. Pastor Bob? You can make it till everything is fulfilled. Every vision, everything that's in your heart, God wants to see come to pass. You're the Joshua. You are the Joshua. You're not handing it over. You're the Joshua that's going to run this vision all the way through. Put it in your heart to carry it out. And as long as we stand and we pray and we believe God and we stay in that place, then they'll stay strong. And they'll be able to complete it. Amen. So what we're going to do tonight, oh my goodness, it's 8:35. I said, okay, I want to pray. I want us to pray. I want us to come down together. I want us just to spend a few minutes praying in the Spirit over the leaders of our nation. You know, of course, we look at our president. The leaders of our nation right now that I feel we need to pray for is pastors and their wives. standing in the gap for the leaders of the nation, for they will lead revival. They will lead the church into the promised land. They will lead the church into the glory and the presence of God. And we must pray for our leaders and the leadership of this house. We must stand in that place and we must believe God, and we must let our voice come out, and we don't have to be quiet. You know, there's times to be sure, but tonight I want to hear your voice. I want your weapons to go out of your mouth. I want you to make a difference in this city. Father, we hold up, first of all, our pastors. We stand in that place. Some of you that are around them, just lay hands on Pastor and Joy as we hold them before the Lord. We pray for them right now. We build that hedge of protection around them right now. In the name of Jesus, we take our weapons right now and we surround them in prayer, and we declare that they will finish the work. They will finish the work. They will finish the work of the Lord. They will not fail short. They will not come up short. But we declare in the name of Jesus that they will finish the work. They will finish the work. They will finish the work. That vision will come to the fullness. Glory to God, that vision will come. That vision will come to the forefront. Oh, that everyone in this leadership, in this leadership team, in the name of Jesus, wherever, I don't know who all the leaders are. Charlie, who's all the leaders here? Right here. Somebody get some hands on Dan and Ashley. Lori, you sent your. Let's get some hands around some of these leaders. Sure, Baba Dago, somebody, I can say. Where, who else? Where's Pam? Pam, get some hands on Pam. We surround our leaders right now. We surround these leaders, God, as they lift up the hands of our pastors, as they stand in the gap, as they help carry out the vision. In the name of Jesus. See, you're attached. You're attached. That's where you'll flourish. God, our heart cry that this body will be of one accord, one accord, one accord, in the name of Jesus, to carry out the plan of God, to carry out the purpose of God. Moving in one accord, moving as a body, going in, taking the land. There's land to be taken. God, I pray over this congregation that they will go in unity and one accord to fulfill the vision that's in this house, that's in each and every one of them, in the name of Jesus. We surround this church. Angels, we are calling on you. Angels, we are calling on you. Angels, come forth. Angels, come forth. Angels, come forth and surround. Surround our pastors. Surround the leadership. Surround this house to fulfill the plan of God. Surround this house for the will of God. The will of God. The will of God. Nothing left undone. That the day they stand before God, it will be said, every word was fulfilled. Every plan was fulfilled. Sure, Baba, they go somebody. Pray. Show, Baba, they go somebody.
God, I thank you. We will possess our land in the name of Jesus. We will possess our land in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Every dream and every vision will be completed, will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Every dream, every vision, everything, every promise that has been promised, Pastor, in joy will come to pass. They will see it with their very own eyes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, God, that we will see Fort Worth, Texas, if with the glory of God on this, on Fort Worth, Texas, the glory of God will be manifested in this city. Hallelujah. Because we ask for the harvest. God, you said to ask for the harvest, God, and we will receive the harvest, God. We ask and we believe we receive the harvest of this city. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the call. We thank you for the call of God upon this house. God, it's a call not only for this city, but for this nation. Hallelujah. God, we're calling out for this nation and the nations of this world. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for that call upon this house. It is an international call. It is Calvary Cathedral International. Hallelujah. Father, we call the nations in. We call the nations in tonight. We ask for the nations, God. We ask for the nations. Nothing is too hard for you.